Sports Talk New York with your hosts Mark Rosenman and AJ Carter. Sports Talk New York is sponsored in part by Prince Associates, Send in the Clowns, the Phoenix Tube Company, CelebrityTrips.com, the law firm of Decalator Cohen and DePrisco, Solomon Jewelers, and Relish Restaurant of Kings Park. Here are your hosts, Mark and AJ.
Joining us now is a man who grew up in Brooklyn, not the Bronx, the other borough, New York, as a fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He knew early on that he wanted to be a sportscaster. He developed his skills at Brown University, class of 1972, announcing, AJ, that's why I love the guy, announcing hockey, all right, and football guys on the college radio station WBRU. He had minor league hockey. He was a minor league hockey play-by-play for Muskegon, Oklahoma City, and Dallas. He was also the radio voice of the Dallas Diamonds of the Women's Professional Basketball League. He was hired by the Texas Rangers in 1979. He is the longest tenured announcer in franchise history, a five-time winner of the state's Broadcaster of the Year Award, is a member of the Texas Baseball Hall of Fame. He has also covered every one of 2017 Hall of Fame inductees, Ivan Pudge Rodriguez's 13 seasons with the Rangers, and 217 times he was able to use his signature home run call of "That ball is history" for Pudge. It is a pleasure to welcome the 2014 recipient of the Ford Frick Award, the voice of the Texas Rangers, Eric Nadel, to WLIE Sports Talk New York. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. You know, before we talk about Pudge, let's talk a little bit about your amazing career. We mentioned in the open that you grew up in Brooklyn as a Brooklyn Dodger fan. I've heard, though, in the past that you've cited Marv Albert as one of your major influences. But how much of an impact did Vince Scully have on a very young Eric Nadel as to becoming a broadcaster?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't remember listening to Vinny when I was in Brooklyn. And when he was in Brooklyn, the Dodgers left after the 57 season. I had just turned 6 years old. I probably heard Vin when I was in the womb, but I'm really not conscious of Vin being an influence on me at all. The baseball announcers, you know, who were more of an influence on me were Mel Allen and Red Barber, and then the Scooter with the Yankees and the Mets trio of Lindsey Nelson, Bob Murphy, and Ralph Kiner. But Marv Albert was the guy who had me doing my homework early so I could hear every single word of his broadcast of Knicks and Rangers.
What was it about Marv that it's funny you say that, because Marv also is my guy. I mean, he is actually my next book is dedicated to Marv, because with the words that Marv Albert allowed me to see my first Ranger game on the radio. But what was it about Marv that had such an impact on you?
Well, that's what it was. It was really the way he painted that picture and did it with such incredible drama. You know, every kid in the schoolyard in my day was yelling, yes, you know, when you hit a jump shot. And I loved the way he did the hockey. I loved the way he would, you know, follow the Rangers up ice. You know, it'd be Gilbert across the Montreal line. And, you know, that staccato delivery. I just loved it, and I wanted to do that. And, you know, we'd be playing street hockey, and I'd be making believe I was Marv. And when I learned to do basketball at Brown, we did football, soccer, and hockey. But when I learned to do basketball, I got Marv Albert tapes. And to me, that was the best way to learn how to do that sport.
It's interesting because I
did basketball in college, play-by-play, and I probably took a lot from Marv also. You've heard a little bit of my broadcast.
Who did not take
same era. And a little bit of Marv, a little bit of Johnny Most, who was you know, up there, the Boston, Celtics announcer.
But it's so interesting, if you think about it, that Marv to this day is still doing games. And up in, you know, this will be the first year in your life that Vin Scully is not calling a Dodger game, which is absolutely phenomenal.
It is. You know, he started doing the Dodgers the year that I was born.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tell people that, and they just can't even believe it. Every year when he would announce in September that he was coming back, I would generally, we'd be out on the road, and I would text the headline to my wife, and she would text the same thing back every time, over my dead body. she doesn't really have the desire for me to work to age 89.
You know, Vince Scully is a type of guy, and the announcer, with the advent of XM radio, it was just a joy to go out in your car if you didn't have XM in your house. And now that it streams on the computer, but I guess 5-6 years ago, it didn't. You would go out in your car at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night just to turn on the radio and sit in the driveway to listen to him to the games. Yeah. That's how
good
he was.
Or to catch a game now on the MLB Network.
Right.
Same thing.
It's absolutely phenomenal. So, all right, the reason why we are having you on tonight is, aside from your great career, is the fact that Pudge finally made the Hall of Fame on his first ballot, first time. You actually got to see his entire career. What were your first impressions of seeing him when he came up with the Texas Rangers as a 19-year-old, 19-year-old?
Well, you know, that first day for Pudge in the big leagues was a totally incredible day. It was surreal. You know, we had had a catcher, Gino Petralli, get hurt the night before. We had seen Pudge a little bit in spring training, but he was at Double-A Tulsa. And they told us he was coming up, and they also told us that he was supposed to get married that night between games of a doubleheader in Tulsa. And the Rangers apparently told him, you can wait a day if you want. But he said no, and he and his fiance went to the Justice of the Peace that morning, got married, flew to Chicago. And when he got there, I remember walking into the clubhouse and asking him if he was willing to do the pregame show. It's about a four-minute interview. And he said, yeah, I'll be glad to do it. And I said, you want a translator? Because his English was, you know, it wasn't great, but, you know, all of our Puerto Rican players then, and we had four or five of them, insisted on using translators, except for Jose Guzman, who was completely fluent, and he would translate for the other guys. And Pudge said, no, I'll do it in English. And we went out to the dugout. It was just Pudge and me in the dugout. It was now called U.S. Cellular Field, and back in those days it was just called the New Comiskey. And I'll never forget this. In the interview, I said to Pudge, now they've told us that you're only here for 2 weeks to replace Gino Petralli, who's, you know, got a very minor injury and is expected back after the 15 days. Have they told you that? And Pudge looked me right in the eye and he said, they told me that, but I tell you this, I am never going back. And he was absolutely right. I'm thinking, what a cocky kid. What does he know? And that night, he threw out two would-be base stealers, had a two-run single in the ninth inning, caught Kevin Brown, who was the toughest guy on the staff to catch, flawlessly, and, you know, never looked back and certainly didn't go back to Tulsa or anywhere else in the minor leagues. He was right.
You know, 13 seasons as a Texas Ranger, 11 of those seasons he was an All-Star. In a town where football is king, how big of a star was Ivan?
Well, he was a huge star, especially in light of the fact, you know, the Rangers never made the playoffs until 1996. And when they made the playoffs that year, the stars of the team were Juan Gonzalez and Pudge. And Juan was, you know, a very quiet guy. He didn't show a whole lot of emotion. You know, he was moody. Pudge was always happy, always smiling, charismatic, flamboyant, ebullient. He was so easy to fall in love with that, you know, he won a lot of fans over to baseball. Plus the fact that he supplied a weapon that we've never seen before. That throwing arm of his, the sort of deterrent that he provided to the opposing running game, the things that he could do, whipping the ball behind the back of a left-handed batter and pick a guy off at first base, which he would do a few times a year. I'm getting Ricky Henderson to stay still at first base when we were playing the A's. You know, that sort of thing was something that captured the fans' imagination. And with the exception of Nolan Ryan, you know, Pudge, in my mind, is by far the most popular player in Texas Rangers history. And this club's been here since 1972.
Well, it makes it even more amazing. You look at their history behind the plate. No doubt he's the greatest catcher in Rangers history. But you look at the numbers. He ranks second in franchise history in hits, fourth in home runs, fourth in RBIs. Combine that with the best defensive WAR in Rangers history, according to Baseball Reference. Won 10 gold gloves, 6 silver slugger awards, 1 MVP award. There could be a very compelling argument that he might be the very best player ever to put on a Texas Rangers uniform. Aside from Ryan, is there anyone else that even, you know, could be up there for consideration?
There's only one other guy, and he's currently playing third base for us, and that's Adrian Beltre.
Right.
And when all is said and done, Beltre is going to have his plaque at Cooperstown with a Rangers cap on it, too. Michael Young had a sensational career, but not Cooperstown caliber career. He would be next on the list, and he holds most of the Rangers' all-time records offensively. But Pudge, by far, is the most accomplished position player the Rangers have ever had. Now, you've got Nolan as a pitcher, but only 5 of his years were with Texas.
Right, and Fergie Jenkins also went in, but also not his whole career with the Texas Rangers. But here's the one thing that's so interesting, all right? In the entire history in the game of baseball, he's only the second catcher, the first being Johnny Bench, to be elected in the first year of eligibility. And that's despite later on in his career, he was among a handful of players accused by using performance-enhancing drugs by Jose Canseco. Though, you know, Pudge was never tested positive. He wasn't mentioned in the Mitchell report. He got 76% of the vote, first ballot Hall of Famer. If it wasn't for those rumors, how high do you think that number actually would have went?
I think he would have been over 90%. I think the only people who would not have voted for Pudge would have been those who don't vote for anyone on the first ballot.
Which is crazy.
You just don't vote anybody in on the first ballot. Yeah. And I wonder if those people, are they not going to vote for Jeter on the first ballot? Are they not going to vote for Mariano on the first ballot? You know, we'll see. But in Pudge's case, you know, the numbers are so outstanding that, well, just the fact that he made it in the first year, when you look at the fact they made Piazza wait for 3 due to steroid suspicion. And I honestly felt, you know, that Pudge would have to wait at least a year just because of the era that he played in and the possibility in people's minds, you know, that he might have used. I was actually quite surprised when these polls started coming out showing, you know, they had 80% support and really had a chance to make it in the first year. And I'm really glad he did. You know, I think he really deserves it. And I'll tell you, we had a Rangers Fan Fest this past weekend, and Ranger fans are absolutely delirious over this, and the Rangers have all kinds of events planned for the summer. They're going to retire Pudge's number 7, and who knows what else they'll come up with.
So do you think, you mentioned Piazza, do you think Piazza having finally gotten in last year after 3 years made it easier for Pudge to get in on the first ballot? Did that sort of open the floodgates?
Yeah, I imagine it probably did. And, you know, I'm not a voter. Only the writers vote. The broadcasters don't. I'm glad I'm not a voter. I don't want to be the one who has to be judge and jury on this steroids thing. It's really difficult. I've heard really intelligent people explain both sides of it, and I see both sides of it. I'm glad I don't have to make that choice. But I would imagine the fact that Piazza did get in did help pave the way for Pudge. And when you realize Pudge only made it by 4 votes, when you say, did it make a difference? Well, if it swayed 4 guys, then yeah, it made all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we let you go, we want you to try and, you know, get into the ear of Texas Rangers management and see if you can convince them to take Jay Bruce off the Mets' hand for a couple of prospects, all right?
You know, they could use Jay Bruce. You know, they're looking for another hitter, ideally somebody who could play first base. You know, Napoli is the guy who they've been focused on. I don't know where they are in the talks with him. You know, if that doesn't work, they're going to be looking elsewhere for a guy who can hit, you know, either in front of or behind Adrian Beltre.
Well, they did pick up James. They signed James Loney today, right?
They signed James Loney. I don't think they're looking at him in that regard.
He had a really nice season here. He really did. He played a very good first base and was
he's a consistent professional hitter.
You're going to like him. Yeah. I mean, if he makes the team, he brought a lot to the Mets this year. He really did. He was a savior
We know him from Tampa Bay. Right. We know he's a great guy. We know he's a superb fielder. He would actually be, I think, a very comparable replacement to the guy who left, Mitch Moreland, who maybe has a little more home run power than Loney does, might not hit for as high an average, and is a very similar fielder, Gold Glove winner at first base. I think the Rangers, since they also lost Carlos Beltran and lost Ian Desmond, are looking for a little more pop out of that spot.
I totally agree. And we'd like to catch up with you during the baseball season as well, if you don't mind.
Anytime. Love talking to you guys.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on Pudge tonight. We really appreciate it, Eric.
Cool. Have a great night.
You got it. Eric Nadel, the voice of the Texas Rangers.